Welcome to the Three Kings Podcast, the one place where real men have real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view. With your hosts, Rob B-Free Badgett, Will Big Steel Wells, and Rob Resurrect Connolly. Sit back, tune in, and let the King speak.
What's up? Welcome to our first official video episode.
What it do?
The Three Kings Podcast. I'm your boy, Rob B. Free Badgett.
What's going on? This is Rob Resurrect Conley.
Hello. This is Big Will.
I thought your name is Mr. Wells.
Mr. Wells in school and
Big Steel.
So where do you work? For the people that don't know, what do you do again?
I work at New Heights Charter School.
How's that going?
It's going great.
I work for Jesus.
Do you work for Jesus full time?
Yes, I do.
How's that work?
It's great.
Do you get
man.
Paid in fishes and loaves?
Yes. I do. Yes.
Get paid in
loving
cereal.
It.
What do you do though? We've never actually talked about what you do.
What I do?
You watch TV and eat cereal.
Listen, absolutely not. No,
we've never actually talked about what you do.
I'm a full-time pastor. I am the executive pastor of
Restoration
Community Church.
So what does that entail
Church.
As a full-time pastor?
Listen, DVR in the daytime.
No.
Right now, I am working on planting a church.
Nice.
So I am building a team. I am serving the city. I am serving the area, the Plymouth County area, with the gospel. I help the church. I'm the executive pastor of the church. So I help.
Your current church.
Yes. So right. I help. Restoration. So I help oversee all of the ministries in the church.
You're the executive pastor?
Yes. So I
didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. So I help run programs. I help facilitate curriculums. I counsel, all that kind of stuff.
You do a lot.
Yeah, he does
yes.
so much. He's so busy.
What made you decide the church plant, though? Like, what? Why did you decide to do that?
Yes.
Why did I decide to plant the church?
Yeah.
I decided God made that decision for me. But
Why did you decide to agree with God?
Yes.
Because I care about the people of this area and believe that the gospel needs to be spread, and I don't think one church can do it alone.
Our last episode was kind of good. We was talking about the church's response to social issues.
Yes.
And, somebody in the group chat didn't agree with Mr. Wells.
Mm-hmm.
So he dropped out some numbers and some stats.
As I always do.
Yes.
What were the stats you dropped, though?
A bunch of them.
I'm glad we're talking about forgiveness.
No, that was important, man.
It was a lot of stats.
No, it was good. Like, you know, it was exciting. I think it's definitely, this is the climate, I think, for churches to really invade. Because it seems like we were saying in the last episode, that people are not connecting to the church the way that maybe we did in our era, in our generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a hard reality. I do think that we've gotten to the point where we have to do church differently. It's not even like, maybe you should. It's like, no, you have to do things differently. And if you're not changing and evolving, then it's a problem. But one of the things we've been talking a lot about, because one of the other things we mentioned kind of in that episode, but we didn't really unpack it, was this reality of forgiveness.
Okay.
And we brought up the issue with Amber Geiger and the gentleman, because we talked a lot about social stuff, but there was one thing that we really didn't get to unpack, and it was this reality of forgiveness.
Yeah.
But for those of you who don't know by now, there was a situation with a law enforcement cop had shot this unarmed gentleman in his house, and then later another woman was gunned down in her house, and the big cry out or response was, how can you forgive this person, you know, who did such a drastic thing?
Right.
You know what I mean? And
the things came out in the courtroom with the brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then the brother said he forgive this woman who shot his brother.
Yeah.
And then people were outraged and was like, why did you forgive her?
Right.
Because they were angry and wanted him to express their anger.
Correct.
So the question is like, you know, how do you forgive, or why should you forgive?
Would that
be the question?
Yeah. Why should you, and how dare you forgive them? You know what I mean? But I thought to myself, like, has there ever been somebody or a situation where you was like, yo, I can't forgive this person?
Well, let's make it personal. I think all three of us have had things happen to us. Mm-hmm. You know, have you forgiven?
Have you ever struggled with forgiveness or forgiving somebody?
No.
Who was at the top of the list? I know. I can't say I've struggled with forgiveness.
Prior, obviously, after you learn it, then you would, you know what I mean?
Would you say, like, as a man of God, I have not struggled with forgiveness?
Okay.
What about you?
Yes.
The vault.
Yes. Yes, I have struggled with forgiveness plenty of times. Plenty of times.
Who was at the top of the list? Was the situation?
For me, the top of the list was the individual who molested me.
Yeah, we're not going to say no names.
I'm not, obviously. But that took a long time for me to deal with and to not really get over, but to move past. You know, I feel like when I continue to hold on to what happened to me and seeing that individual's face time and time again, I realized that that person had control over me. Because I wasn't letting go of it. I wasn't forgiving that person. I wasn't releasing what was really going on with me. And when I finally did it, that's when I stopped really, you know, kind of having issues with dealing with other people. Does that kind of offend me or just kind of, you know, it helped me to really deal with my emotions a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I know, and then also, you know, we all know Lamine. Mm. Really good friend of ours, and he was one of my best friends when he was murdered, you know, and I was a young Christian. I was a young Christian at the time. Yeah. I knew who the person was. I was going to court every day. You know, I was always getting upset in court. When I saw his face, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to do this. We went out and looked for him. I remember, and I'm a Christian. I'm a young Christian. Mm-hmm. I'm going to church. I'm getting involved in youth ministry, and yet I'm going out seeking to try to do something to this individual. Mm-hmm. And it took a few years for me to really deal with that and to move past that. And I remember, I know a few weeks ago when I was at the detention center, I was talking to the kids about forgiveness because, you know, a lot of the kids who are in there have a lot of traumas. They have a lot of issues that they're dealing with. And I was talking about Lamine and the situation and what happened. Wow. And a kid asked me, he said, Mr. Wells, what would happen if you saw that guy right now? You're talking to us about forgiveness, Mr. Wells, but if you saw that person right now, do you really believe you'll be able to forgive that person?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, I was sitting like, wow. I'm like, that's a great question. I said, to be honest, it would depend on what he had to say. I said,
when did they ask you this?
This was a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago.
It was a kid, 16-year-old kid. So I said, if I saw him, because I still remember what he looks like, I know who he is. If I saw him and he expressed regret over what he did, and what happened, then yeah, I would definitely forgive him. We could talk, we can break bread, we can do whatever. But
you would go to eat with him and talk?
Yeah,
really?
Yes, I would. I'm dead serious.
But if he came at you in a negative
way, he said,
"Yo, I did what I had to do."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Then I would have to really pray about and really check myself on how I would deal with that situation.
Okay.
Because I know personally for myself, I wouldn't, you know, do anything ridiculous or crazy because I know who I am and I'm confident in who I am as a Christian. But I know I would be angry and upset if he came out of his mouth the wrong way and bragged about what he did.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
You'd be upset.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But forgiving people, if you're not forgiving somebody, then you're telling them that they still have power over you.
Right.
I don't allow, and when I talk to the kids now, with lockup or in school, I tell them, don't ever allow anyone to have power over you. That's not who you are. You're not a slave. That's not who you are. When you are forgiving somebody, you're releasing what they've done and you're moving past that. You don't forget about it, but you don't allow it to control you any longer or your emotions.
Yeah.
So, Will, you're saying if this man came at you in a negative way,
yeah,
knowing what you just said, mm-hmm, that, you know, if you don't forgive somebody, they would have power over you.
Right.
No, but based on what he says to you, is still a possibility that he can still have that power over you?
No, I said it might make me angry, but I'm not going to allow it to control me as far as my emotions are concerned or what I'm going to do to him. Like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's making me angry about what he says, then him having control of me would me be punching him in his face or killing him.
Because you're a power lifter.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But for me to just move past that, even if I got angry, but not allowing that situation to control me to do anything that I might regret, then that's moving on.
Do you think, going back to the whole Amber Geiger thing and the brother that forgave her, do you feel like he was fully present in that moment and what he said, or was it just like, you know, because sometimes it's just like we'll say, I'm sorry, or I accept your apology.
But the brother?
Not, yeah.
I mean, he got up and hugged her.
Yeah.
I think he meant to do what he did.
And he had time to process what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know you're going to court. You know a while before you go to court. Absolutely. He knew what he was going to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I say that because one of the issues, one of the hardest experiences that I ever had in my life was when I was married previously. My then wife had stepped out and she had an affair. And the what added insult to injury was I knew the person that she had an affair with. And I remember, you know, in the moment or soon after, I was like, you know what, I forgive you. Like, it just said the words, I forgive you. But internally, nothing had changed. Like, I was warring in myself. And I was so full of anger, bitterness, resentment. And it was just like, oh, I think there's a difference between saying the words and the meaning it, or it having real meaning and depth in you. I think sometimes we become, we just say something verbally. You know, sometimes because we, even when it's the right thing to do or the right thing to say, but we have not connected with it. You know what I mean? I think that to forgive, do I think it's a process? Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
But I think that you want it to still come from a sincere, authentic place rather than a logical place. Because for me, my faith stated why we should forgive. Mm-hmm. Like, as a Christian, these are all the reasons why. So I was logically submitting to the faith. But I was not at all emotionally connected to, you need to forgive this person. And it took years. And I'm saying both of the individuals that are
involved. So what was the difference? What have you forgiven those people now?
Yeah, now.
So how did you connect emotionally now to forgive them authentically now?
Mm-hmm. I think I needed to give myself time. Like, I think one thing that we don't often preach in the forgiving process is the importance of allowing yourself to process and feel what happened. And then go to God with that honesty and that authenticity. Like, yo, I don't want to forgive this person at all.
Do you think it's always time?
Do I think it's always time to forgive?
Yeah. I'm saying, do you think it needs to be a certain amount of time before forgiveness can be given to somebody?
No, but I do think that.
I think it depends on the situation.
I do think
for a lot of people, it depends on the situation.
Well, let me give you a situation.
How traumatic it might be, or not traumatic.
Let me give you a situation. Mm-hmm. You're a security guard. You're a police officer. You have a licensed firearm. Mm-hmm. You walk into your house. You see your wife sleeping with somebody.
Okay.
So how you respond can say whether or not this person has time or not to react.
Sure.
So, because you could be in it, because somebody could say, you know, I need time to process. And if they don't have time to process, they can react.
Absolutely.
Now you have your hand on the gun. So you can react right now. So is it time that's going to make the difference? Because if it's not time, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I need that time. But you're not leaving. You're standing right here. You're in the bedroom. So I'm sorry. I didn't have time to walk out and process. I see you right now. I'm angry right now. So I'm going to react right now.
If you were a cop and you saw your wife banging somebody else, would you pull out your gun?
Me personally, no.
Well, exactly. So why?
Because for me, time is not I'm making a choice.
That's for you, though. That's not everybody.
But what is required? What is required?
What is required?
A choice is required.
Yes.
It's not
the choice is
a choice that you make before things happen.
But you still have to go through a process. Some people still have to go through a process to be able to forgive certain people or certain things or certain occurrences in their life. That's just part of that's just human nature.
I understand, but that's true.
Some people have
that is true. But we know too many people use that as an excuse to do something in the moment and then say, I'm forgive later. Now you shot the person. How are you going to forgive them later?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Do you think on the flip side, though, we try to rush people along with the process of forgiveness?
I don't know who tries
largely to rush them. Largely in the church world. You got to forgive. The Lord says forgive. Right, you need to forgive.
That's not right.
Just forgive.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But what I'm saying is that too many people don't try to have that process time happening when nothing is happening. We don't talk about like
say
how
that
to.
Again, say that again.
So, like for processing, right? You don't have to be in a traumatic experience to process what could happen when there's a traumatic experience happening in your life. Like, why do we read the scriptures and then act surprised when things happen? Like the scriptures tell us that
don't expect things to happen.
People live their lives like nothing should ever go wrong in my life.
Yeah, people do.
That's crazy. From what logic do we have for that?
That's how
things would happen.
But that's how some people are raised.
But that's what I'm saying. We need to be people that are preparing for craziness to happen in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So because we can't use because God's not going to accept the excuse that, I know nothing ever happened in your life, so this is the first time. Like, nah, somebody died.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when things are not happening, what happened?
I said you take that advice and tell it 30 years ago to the people who are, you know.
I'm just saying we need to do better.
Saying, if there's an error, move on.
If there's an error we need to do better at, is talking about how to process issues before things happen.
How do you process something before it happens? What do you mean?
Because we know enough stories to say that, yo, we've seen people live before us.
Okay.
I'm not saying that, yo, one day
so
you might get
we
molested.
From history?
Learn from history and the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that there's going to be trouble.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be specific.
Absolutely.
But some type of trouble is going to happen. Mm-hmm. How are you going to respond when those troubles happen?
When you go through diverse trials.
How do you do that? We need to talk about how to do that.
But do you think
so
it hurts any less, though? Because we know that
I do think it hurts any less because I've been through some issues. And
it hurts
less
because of your faith?
Yes.
Hurts less?
Yes.
You just said you've never been through forgiveness issues as a Christian.
I was able to forgive.
Because you were able
I've
to
I've been
forgive.
Through things, but I was able to forgive.
But anything serious or traumatic? Like, have you ever seen your wife cheating?
If it's traumatic to me, it's traumatic to me.
So, like what?
I have my top three, okay. Right? I had an ex-roommate, I had an ex-coworker, and I had a father.
Right.
Those were my top three. Right? And I was able to forgive all three of those people because of my faith.
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yes.
Right after it happened?
Right after it happened.
Well, my father was a span of my life. I mean, my father was my father before I even knew God.
Sure.
So when I understood, when I was introduced to the teachings of forgiveness, I was able to understand, like, if I don't do this, it's going to affect me. That was the biggest thing that helped me learn how to forgive quicker.
Sure.
Was knowing that, yo, this person is not losing sleep over me.
Right.
I'm the only one stressed out.
Right.
So holding on to this pain is doing what? Not hurting him unless I actually hurt that person.
But you said
so you're taking your control away.
You said that your faith helps it to hurt less.
Yes.
Would you say it's not about it hurting less, but you just may have more understanding, but it doesn't hurt any less?
No.
Like
it,
when,
no,
I've
no,
lost,
hurt less.
When I've lost people, like I remember I lost my grandmother not too long ago. Like, that did not hurt any less because I know the Lord. It brought more understanding and knowing where she was going, but the pain of losing her,
think even scripture shows that it hurts less because you can have stress affect your body where it could take you out of this world. You could have been a whole lot more stressful if you didn't have God in your life. You even talked about your relationship with your ex-wife.
Right.
Imagine your relationship today with your ex-wife if you didn't have God in your life today.
Without God.
You'd have been worse off.
Yeah,
you'd
be
in
prison.
I didn't say it was going to hurt at all. I didn't say it was going to hurt at all.
Yeah.
And you probably could have messed up future relationships.
Oh, I could have.
So it hurts less when you add Christ into the mix.
No, I get it in that sense. I just feel like we often, like I said, we push people along the process and don't allow them ever to process.
Sure.
You know, because one of the backbones and pillars of our faith is forgiveness.
Absolutely.
God so loved the world. Yeah, da, da, da.
It's in the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
I don't like to push people. I think what we do is we mask it. We try to make them pretend like they're like, oh,
they
just
don't feel
anything. Just throw Christianese on it. And just go through it. Nah, but it's like if I see somebody, something happened to you yesterday, you lost a family member.
Yeah.
I want to quickly get this person into the right type of counseling. That's not, I think, what you're talking about. I think you're talking about like people trying to like, let's hurry up and put on this mask like you're okay.
Yeah.
And that's, that ain't going to work.
And that's why I kind of.
Because that's what happened when you said you really didn't forgive, but you said forgiveness.
Right, because and there were people who was just like, I remember one person in particular. He was like, listen, you just have to keep saying it. Okay, just say it until, you feel it. And,
so with that
and
voice.
Because that's how he said it. He's just like, you know, you just got to say that and just kind of move forward.
Rub your shoulder when he said it?
Dude. And I'm like, I'm literally I'm having all these flashbacks and all these pictures popping into my head. I was like, dude, I'm saying it.
Like the best man?
But it's not. Yes, like that. Like that. I'm like, dude, this is not working. But just keep saying it. And I was like, no, that's not registering. So because what was happening is that I kept saying it to her. And so anytime a confrontation came up, she's like, well, why are you still talking about that? You say you forgave me. You know what I mean? Like, why are you bringing that up? And I'm like, because I'm still angry, but I forgive you. Like, it didn't. Right. It was like bipolar. It's like bipolar.
Okay, can you authentically forgive somebody and still be angry?
Authentically?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think. I think when you forgive.
If I forgive you,
the Bible says you can be angry but sin not.
But sin not.
So you can't be angry and still forgive somebody?
We're talking about. No. You said, can you still be angry even after you forgive them? That's what you just said.
Yeah.
That's what you just said.
Well, I guess not after, but like in the.
You just said that, right?
Yeah. No, I'm processing what I said.
Forgiveness is a heart issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where your heart is in Christ as a Christian, it's gonna kind of show where your level is on being able to forgive and be able to move past certain things in your life.
Sure.
Now, if you're angry at somebody after you supposedly forgive them, then that's not real forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's not. What his brother showed in that courtroom was real forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Right? This dude went over to her. He told her, he even hugged her. Who the heck could do that? I'm not going to hug somebody after I tell them forgive them and I'm still angry at them. I'm not going to
All right. So let me bring it back to your scenario.
It depends on certain people, sure.
In Brave scenario. Certain so the kid asked you, the guy comes in today, who molested you? Mm-hmm. You said you forgive him, right?
The guy that molested you.
Right. You said you forgive
not
him.
The guy that
that was authentic, right? You forgive him.
Absolutely.
Now, does that mean anything based on what he says? Oh, because would it be authentic if he comes at you and like, I don't care what I did to you, and then you said you would have to pray a thing, or would you get angry at that moment?
Right. So here's
if you get angry, does that mean that you didn't forgive him based on what you said?
Here's my thing. If I'm getting angry based on what he said, then that means that's still a trauma that's continuing to bother me.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
So you'd be nice. Okay,
right?
Cool.
Yeah. Now, you can get angry. But are you going to allow that anger to control you? Are you going to allow it to cause you to react in a certain way? Or are you going to move past it? Mm. If you're not moving past it, then it's still controlling you. You have to be able to move past it.
So what were the things that, as we wrap this up, what were the things that you started to do to walk through your process of forgiveness? Because I want to give, people some tips on what they can do.
Right. Well, what I started to do is I started to really lean on God a lot more. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I said I was a Christian and all these other things, but I wasn't. I didn't really understand how important it was to have God really in your life as much as I do now.
Yeah.
And so the more I read, the more I got closer to God, the more I understood how intimacy with God truly, truly matters, the more I understood how opening up your heart to God, which would help heal your mind when you're dealing with God or when you're in a relationship with God, the more I did that and I was consistent with that, those were the steps that helped me as a Christian to be able to move on. Because a lot of people think that forgiveness is a weakness. Forgiveness isn't a weakness. Forgiveness shows true strength in a person's character.
That's right.
You have to be incredibly strong to forgive anybody that's ever wronged you in your life, especially if it's coming from a place of trauma. That's what true strength looks like. Mm-hmm. And so for me, because I understand that, I understand the importance of me being strong in Christ consistently every single day. So if I ever come to a point where I see somebody or something happens, then I don't react like I used to.
That's a good point.
The consistency needs to happen.
One of the things that I had to do, and this is a supernatural thing, but also a natural thing. Like, I had to be overwhelmed with God's love. Mm-hmm. Like, it was His love that really invaded me. And He showed me how to love people and to love myself. And through the eyes of love, I was able to see these individuals totally different. But you know, there was a disconnect because my definition of love or what I thought was love, it obviously had been shattered in that experience. Sure. And I'm not talking about, oh, well, you know, God showed his love through his son and the visual images, all the things that we, you know, proclaim. And I'm not dismissing that because that's still a powerful truth of what Jesus did. But it was truly me receiving just a hug of love from him. And then God actually showing me and giving me people like, yo, I love you, man. I really care about your well-being. Like my belief in people and intimate relationships changed through really like being invaded with like God's love, because his love is perfect and he does send people who want to show and share his love. And through that process of love, I started to heal, like for real. And it was nothing that my ex did that was like, oh, well, she changed. She didn't change a whole lot. You know, the person that she was involved in, he still doesn't know Jesus. But it didn't have anything to do with them. It was like they were no longer the focal point of me having a reason to harbor unforgiveness. Because truth of the matter is I've done my own share of things and dirt and bad decisions and all. But again, me learning to love myself through that process, really. So I would say to folks, man, you really have to experience true, authentic love. Like the most abusive people are the ones who don't love themselves.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that don't love themselves. Sure. And so when I see people doing like self-inflicting behavior, it's like, oh, you don't love yourself. You know,
yeah.
You haven't experienced or feel God's love at all. And so you don't, you know, you show empathy, you show compassion. It's like, ah, yeah, you don't know what his love is. Right. That's why you do what you do. Or that's why you treat your wife the way you treat her, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Right.
They don't really get it, man. So I say definitely experiencing God's love.
Yeah, now for me, it was three main things, you know, and two of them are what you guys have said.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was understanding. I couldn't rationalize how I could not forgive somebody and still face a God who forgave me.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put those two together. I'm like, you know, if he forgave me, I can forgive other people. The second thing was realizing that when you get stressed out, when you get angry, you can get to a point where you lose control.
Yeah.
And I didn't like, you know, nobody likes the feeling of being out of control. So yeah. It can't be a weakness to forgive. It's more of a weakness to be angry because you get out of control.
Yeah.
And you can't your emotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then that takes you to the other part, which is understanding that lack of forgiveness was only hurting me.
Mm.
So those three, when I got those three things down, I was like, yeah, I'm going to forgive you.
Yeah.
Because there's no... The other option is not better than this. Yeah. I may feel upset right now, but the other option is not better than this. So I'm going to have to get to this point. That's how I was able to forgive you. So.
Yeah, you had to forgive this dude.
Yeah.
He forgave us all because he was mad every 3 months.
I heard you guys on hinges.
He did. Yeah. We didn't even do anything.
I haven't told you that.
What?
God.
And we're still together.
Still together.
We're friends.
But listen, this is our first one. We have a special.
Forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore. Remember that song?
Yeah. On our next episode, we got the author Yolanda Lewis, who will be stopping by.
Yeah.
That's an episode that you do not want to miss.
Yeah, and shout out to the New England Christian Television Network for hooking us up, for going on video.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, as always, Three Kings Podcast. Real men having real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Three Kings Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Three Kings Podcast, or visit us on the web at his3kings.com. Until next time, let a king be a king. Peace.